kind of hard to be serious with people like this around. I mean, it's like, how do you... Yeah, well, thanks for doing that. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. You know, sometimes we have detours in life that we are not expecting. Sometimes we are dead set to go down a road that we know we should not go on. And sometimes in your life, God puts a roadblock. We've been talking last week and for the next 2 weeks after this, we're talking about what direction are you going in life. And we've taken that off of some signs that it's easy to see around town. But last week was stop, and this week we're talking about yield. And we've sung the song, I Surrender All. I was so moved by singing that song, I thought that's all we got to do is just sit here and just say, I surrender all to God. What does that look like? What does it mean? What does it mean to yield to God? Next week we're going to talk about keeping right. If we yield to God, if we submit to Him, how do we keep right? And then lastly, the end of November, we're going to talk about merging. Today's text is so simple. By the way, all of the signs that we have here, if you're visiting, are with permission. None of them are stolen, but you're not allowed to take them because we got to give them all back. So just a little reminder, if you're sneaking out with a sign, you're going to be in trouble. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Many of you know it because you've memorized it already, but James chapter 4 in verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded people. Let's pray. Lord, come right now and teach us, your people, what it is to resist the devil and to submit to God. And Father, I pray for each of us this morning to find that place in our life where you, through your Spirit, are prompting us to submit and yield to God this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know much about sports, but I know enough about sports just to know the difference between offense and defense. And you might think I'm being humorous, but that really is about the extent of my knowledge. I get mixed up in all the terminology. And if I ever go to a game, I have to ask people all the time what's happening and why did they do that and why are they going here? Because I just don't know that. But I know the difference between offense and defense. And the verse that we're looking at today is the offense and defense in the Christian life. The goal of the Christian life, the goal that we drive at, the goal in football, those two big things that stick up, whatever you call that, and soccer, the big thing with the screen on that you kick the ball to, the goal in the Christian life is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. This is the offensive. The goal is what we're driving at. There's a small reward. There's only a small reward in being obedient and submitting to God just because I think I have to. Did you get that? The rewards are small when I'm guilted into being obedient to God, when I am obedient to God because I think I have to, or He'll get me. But when my love for God and my changed heart drives my life in Christ and drives my obedience, my love and obedience to God is not a chore, but it becomes a joy. When you become a part of the body of Christ, the church, the fellowship of believers, you're on a team of people who are driving towards the same goal, to glorify God, to enjoy Him, and to glorify God by enjoying Him. Now, glorify, you must realize, does not mean that you try to make God look good. Okay, you can't do that. Its meaning, it's acknowledged in the fact that in your life, by your life, that the God who made you is good. He is of supreme value, and that He is the most important part of your existence. Submission to God is the foundation to glorify God, because submitting to God is pressing toward the goal line of enjoying Him. It is pressing forward as a team to attain the goal of complete obedience to God, driven by complete satisfaction in Him. So often in your life, the only way that you'll be able to be obedient in very difficult matters is to find the satisfaction that comes in being obedient to God. The offensive side of Christianity is to drive towards the goal, the satisfaction in God. And the coach calls the shots. He writes the plays. He assembles the team. He knows the field. He assesses the opponent, and he encourages us as team members, you and your team. You just submit to the coach, in our case, That's our Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's the defense. There's resisting the devil. Resisting the devil and his team from making any headway in stopping your pursuit of your goal with your team. Satan hates everything God loves. Satan hates everything that God is. Satan hates everything God does. Satan hates everything God values. Satan hates the fact that God is the most supremely valuable being in the entire universe and that He is not. Satan's mad because he's not as valuable as God. That's pride, right? Satan hates the fact that he's not the supreme being, and that is pride. And the core, root, cause of the hideous sin of pride is self-love. And Satan had that. This self-love gives way to anger and bitterness towards others who do not love what you love, namely yourself. This was the first sin committed by Satan and ultimately caused his downfall when he fell from heaven. This was the first sin committed by Adam and Eve in the garden when they loved themselves more than God. And when they sinned, they ushered death into the world. Pride is at the root of all, if not most, sin in the Christian life. When you resist the devil, you are consciously exerting effort to stop Satan's advances of robbing you of your joy in the Christian life. You're stopping Satan's advances to robbing you and your team of the single goal of glorifying God and enjoying Him with your existence. Satan constantly works for you to love yourself more than God. That's how he gets at the team. He says you should love yourself more because you're worth it. Or he says that you should love yourself more than God because after all, you deserve some fun too. Or he tells you that God's demands are just unreasonable in life and nobody should have to believe and obey what God says. Satan tells you that God doesn't want you to have joy. Satan tells you that God doesn't want you to reach your goal. Satan works to convince you that you have a really good reason to not obey God because your situation's different than someone else's and yours is unique. And yeah, other Christians, they can obey God here, but I can't because after all, I have this dilemma in my life and people don't understand that. You must constantly be on the defensive to Satan and his lies. And interestingly, that defense is massively magnified by a strong offense, which is to submit to God. Press toward the goal of joy in Christ and fight against the enemy of our souls who wants us to find joy in everything but God. That's all I want to talk to you about today. Just two things. Yielding, submitting to God, and its defensive counterpart, resisting the devil. Submit to God and resist the devil. I've had some 9 and 10 point sermons. You'll be glad to know today is only two. Submit to God and resist the devil. Now, what is submission? What is submission? Submission is a very common word. You've heard it before. If you've heard any sermons about submission, you've heard the word. It's hupotasso. And hupotasso is to place under. Is to place under. It's used by both the one doing the placing and the one who is placed. So we would say things like, well, God is subjecting everything to Himself. God is hupotassoing the world to Himself. So that what we mean by that is God is literally subjecting every person, every place, everywhere, eventually to Himself. And we know the Bible says someday every knee will bow. I long for that day. Hupotasso is to place under, in that God subjects everything to Himself. But Paul commands us in the reverse. Paul says, I want you to hupotasso yourselves to God. I want you to voluntarily submit yourselves and bring yourselves under the subjection of God. To be under obedience, to subdue, to be subject to put in subjection, to submit oneself to. Paul spends the majority of James chapter 3 explaining the difficulty, for example, of controlling the tongue. If you read chapter 3, you can read all through there, and he says the tongue is like this, and it's hard to control, and we can tame the horse, and we can steer a ship, but we just can't steer this tongue of ours in our mouth. And he labors on verse after verse talking about the tongue.
He crosses over in chapter 4 and he talks about wars and fighting in the church. And he says, your desires are wrong and your goals are wrong. God is not answering your prayers, he says in James chapter 4, because your attitude opposes what God's about. James says, you just want what you want, not what God wants. And God, he says, in James chapter 4, before he tells us to submit, God, he says, is not listening. God doesn't hear your prayers, he doesn't answer them. Because you're asking with wrong motives. And then James, very politely clears his throat and says, you adulterers! It's like, what? Talking to the people of God, talking about controlling the tongue and praying and why we're not getting it. And he goes, you're adulterers. You want something that you're not supposed to have. You pretend to want what God wants, but you love the world. You love what the world loves. You love the way the world does things. And then James says, but God gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. Ouch. God resists people? God resists people? Do you realize that we're supposed to resist the devil? Put up our hands? Stop. When Susan said that verse, this was submission, but this was resistance. We're supposed to do that to the devil. We're supposed to resist him. And God, if we have pride in our hearts, he resists us. What does that look like? The implication is that God withholds his grace from those who are proud. He withholds his undeserved kindness and he resists those. He is against those who are proud and prideful. So what solution does James offer? Oh, it's very simple. He says, so therefore, submit to God. Stop loving yourself and submit to God. So what does submission look like? What does it look like to submit to God? Well, it looks like voluntarily placing yourself under God's control for your life and for the direction of your life. So that when God walks along and puts a roadblock up and says, oh, whoa, you can't go this way, you have to go this way, you go, oh, okay, I want to go the way God wants me to go. It looks like Christ. Submission looks like Christ who bore a cross that was not his to pay for sins he did not commit for people who were his enemies. Man, that's what submission looks like? To bear a cross that's not mine? To pay for sins I didn't commit for people who are my enemies? Yeah, that's what Jesus did, didn't he? Who was submissive to the cross? Submission looks like wanting what God wants. Do you want what God wants? Submission looks like repenting of sin and trusting in Christ as my life's leader. Submission looks like looking for God's plan for my problem. Submission looks like finding my gifts and my place of service in my church. Submission looks like being a servant in the church and not a consumer. Submission looks like serving in my church and in my community without recognition because I'm doing it for God and not to be recognized. Submission looks like being a worshiper and not a critic. Submission looks like opening up the church early on Sunday morning when no one else can see, and turning on all the lights and opening all the doors up so that when the first people come, it's all done and all ready, and nobody quite knows how that happens. Submission looks like working all week long or late on Saturday night to prepare a Bible study lesson to teach to those who come to learn from the Word of God. Submission looks like coming together to pray with others for the church. Submission looks like demonstrating submission to God by demonstrating appropriate submission to others. And by the way, if you haven't first submitted to God, you will chafe always in your relationships with others because the way you get along with others is you first get your heart right with God. How do I do this? I just submit to God. It's very simple. I exchange my agenda for God's. I learn what God's agenda is, and I get on that agenda. I yield to God. I give Him the right of way in my life. Why? Because you were bought with a price. You belong to God. And to resist submitting to God is to resist God, and to resist God is to be proud. And God resists the proud, and God says, if you resist Him, He resists you. There's an old Aesop's fable about the wind and the sun. Many of you have probably heard that, but they were having an argument, and the wind was talking, and the sun was talking, and the sun was saying, hey, I'm the most powerful thing going on. And the wind goes, oh, no, 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 I'm more powerful. I can blow your heat away anytime I want. And the sun goes, oh, no, you can blow all you want, but I can make it really hot, and it won't matter. And so they were discussing and arguing, and a man comes walking along with a coat on, and the wind says to the sun, I know, why don't we have a little contest here? Let's see which one of us can get his jacket off. Right? So the wind blew and gets really firm and fierce and came through the channels in the rock and just the right way and hit the man's jacket, and the man pulls his jacket tighter and tighter, and the harder the wind blows, the harder the man pulls his jacket, and he's holding on to it so tight there's no way the wind can get it off, and the wind kind of keeps blowing for a little bit, and then the sun comes out, right? And the sun beats down on the man. The man's walking along, and he starts to sweat, and he can't really stand anymore. And the first thing he does is rip his jacket off and tie it on his waist because he couldn't stand the heat because he got all sweaty. The moral of the story here is that kindness accomplishes more than severity. That's the Aesop's fable. But the reality is, in our lives, God does both. Right? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2 verse 4, that it is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. But sometimes God has to put some really big roadblocks in your life to wake you up. And so sometimes the cold wind of God's discipline blows in the life of those who are Christians and those who are coming. The cold wind blows so that we are awake and so that we stop and think about what's going on. And so often we pull our jackets tighter. And we say, no, God, no, I'm pulling my jacket tighter. I'm pulling on that jacket of maybe self-righteousness to say, I don't need God. I don't want to do what you want to say. And the wind blows cold, and then God's kindness comes out in the midst of that coldness, and we see the goodness and love of God in our lives, and that He is doing this to reach us, and we take the jacket off, and we embrace the warmth of God's love because we know that God does both in our lives. Maybe in your life you've been feeling the hand of God's discipline. Maybe you know that the circumstances in your life are not just merely happening, but that God is orchestrating things in your life, and the only explanation is God is trying to get your attention to cause you to stop and think about where you are at with God and if you are submitting. So the question is, will you yield to God? Will you submit to God? I wanted to give you a handle on an entry-level way today, and I could pick lots of things, so I'm just picking one, of an entry-level way that you can submit to God. And the one that I've selected just for us to have something to put our hands on is prayer. An entry-level thing for you to submit to God is to stop long enough in your day, throughout your day, from time to time, and stop and talk to God to pray to Him. Today at 2 o'clock in this church in the South Hall, there's going to be a prayer time. I'd love to see twice as many people as last week come and sit on the couches or the chairs or kneel before God and to ask Him to help us, to heal us, to teach us, to heal our land. Because the Bible says, if My people called by My name will humble themselves and pray, He'll heal our land. You could come Wednesday and join those that come to pray then. Or, one last thing, Jeremy, come and help me, could you? I got 20 books that I got this week. Jeremy and I have looked at this book. This is How to Pray by R.A. Torrey. It's only about 90 pages, and the books are very small. I need somebody else to help me. Bruce, can you do this? It's only 90 pages. It's a small book, small pages. You could probably read this, even a modest reader, in just a few hours. And I'm just wondering if there's 20 people that would say, I'm going to read that book. I want to take that home with my family and read that book of How to Pray by R.A. Torrey. Who would like one? I got 20 of them. Let's go. Adam and Molly and Brent. Tell me your name again. Heather, good to see you. For Niels. There you go, Tasha. An entry-level place of submission to God is to say, you know what? I'll pray. I want to do that. And I think any honest person in this room would say, you know, I probably don't pray like I ought. And we talk often, even in the office, Pastor Josh and Pastor Jeremy and I, we talk about how can we be more intense in our prayer and how can we carve out more time, how can we be more obedient in talking to God. The other side, however, of submitting to God is resisting the devil. Resisting the devil is an important part of submitting to God. Resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee. The word here is anistemi. An is from ana is against, and istemia is to stand, and it means to stand against the devil.
Now, it's interesting that just a few verses ago, we read that God resists the proud, and we're to resist the devil. And I thought to myself, I wonder if that's the same word. And actually, it isn't. There's two different words there. This verse here, it tells us we're to resist the devil. We are to stand up against him. We're to stand, plant our feet, say no, turn our heads, put our hands up and say no to the devil, stand against him, and he will flee. The Bible tells us that God resists the proud. He resists them. The word used there is, forgot it. But it's to arrange in an orderly manner against, to ordain and to predetermine. God stops and plans to work against those who are proud to bring them back into repentance. And we are to put our hands up and stand against the devil. You know what resisting is? Resisting is the opposite of everything that submission is. Right? Isn't it the opposite? Right? Resistance is not being submissive. Submissive is placing oneself under God's control. Resisting is not placing yourself under someone's control. Resisting is placing oneself against Satan. Submitting is placing oneself for God. When you submit to God and do the opposite to the devil, you are submitting to God and resisting the devil. I said last week that the seed of sinful action is sinful thinking. So resisting the devil starts in your mind. To resist the devil, you must fill yourself with the truth so you can boot the lies of Satan out of your mind. So how do we resist the devil? I said 4 or 5 things for you. I think it might be 5. Number 1, say no to a man-centered agenda. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, Peter was talking to Jesus and told him that, Jesus, I really don't think you should do this. I think you shouldn't go down there because some bad stuff's going to happen. I'm telling you, you got to find a different way to do this. I don't like how you're going about it. And Jesus stops him and says, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me because you're not thinking about God's concerns, but you're thinking about man's concerns. When we submit to God, we reject a man-centered agenda and we pursue a God-centered agenda. Peter had the wrong focus. And then he had the wrong thoughts. And then he had the wrong words. And then he was rebuked by our Savior. The second thing is you can say no to bad thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and following says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Okay, we don't fight Satan with a sword in this hand and a brick in this hand or something like that. You remember Billy Sunday, what he used to say? He would say, I'm going to fight Satan till the day that I die, and I'm going to fight him right now with my fists, and when I can't fight with him, I'm going to kick him. When I can't kick him, I'm going to bite him, and when I lose my teeth, I'm going to gum him to death. I'm going to fight him to the day I die. It happens in your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You start resisting the devil by resisting thoughts that are wrong. I have to do this all the time. I'll think something, and I'll be like, what are you thinking? That's insane. That's crazy. You can't think that way. You can't plan that way. That's materialistic, or that's prideful, or that's not kind, or that's whatever. You got to think that way and say, why am I thinking that thought? Boot it out of your mind. Take every thought captivity into the obedience of Christ. Number one, have a God-centered agenda. Number two, say no to bad thoughts. Number three, say no to most anger. I wrestle with this because you can't say that you can't be mad because the Bible says be angry and don't sin. We know that, but I think for most of us our anger is probably sin. So I'm going to say no to most anger. Ephesians 4:25 says, speaking the truth, each one to his neighbor because we are members of one another. Be angry, it's allowed, but do not sin because that's common. Okay? Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. And here's the one, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Some of you know that word as foothold. Don't give the devil a foothold. When you are angry, when you don't solve the dilemma, when you're upset and you don't solve it, you give the devil a foothold in your life, you open the door, and he will gladly walk in and run with that anger, with that disappointment, with that bitterness. You know what the most common anger is?
most common anger is the negative emotion that we feel when we don't get something that we want. We feel wronged for not getting it, and we feel justified for acting badly because of it. Isn't that really common? It's like, oh, sometimes I go, why am I upset about this? It's like, oh, this is so stupid. I don't have any reason to be upset. I just didn't get my way. Right? Is that all it is? It's like, oh, boot it out. Boot it out. Most common anger is the negative emotion that we feel when we don't get what we want, feeling wrong for not getting it, and justified for acting badly because of it, and that kind of anger is sin. When you are angry only because you didn't get your way, you are sinning, and it gives a door, an opportunity for the devil. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, don't let your spirit rush to be angry, because anger abides in the heart of a fool. James 1:19 says, be slow to anger. And lastly, I guess I only had four. To resist the devil, say no to giving the devil an opportunity. Say no to giving the devil an opportunity. Now, this can mean a lot of things for a lot of different people. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be on the alert, because your adversary, okay, the one who's working against your goal, that adversary, he's the one you defend. Again, you resist him. The adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him firm in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are being experienced by your brothers in the world. Satan is wandering around looking for an opportunity to help you stumble. Right? And when you have a bad thought or wrong anger or sin in your life, Satan's having a heyday and he says, oh, this is going to work great. I can see where this is going. I'm liking this. You give him an opportunity. Beloved, there are very specific things that we can do to resist the devil, to put our hands up, and it starts in the mind. The 1-2 punch of the Christian life is to submit to God, to actively submit to God, to make His agenda my agenda, to follow Him, and to accurately and passionately resist the devil and put our hands up and say no to him. There was a captain of a ship that was going through the dark night one time, and he saw a faint light way off in the distance, way out there. And he told a single man to go ahead and single up ahead and single for the ship that was coming for them to turn his course 10 degrees to the north. And so the single man did his whatever, how they single, a little Morse code or something to tell him to turn 10 degrees to the north. The single came back from the faint light way off in the distance. No, you move 10 degrees to the south. Well, this kind of ticked off the captain because he's like, you know, I got a really big boat here. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm going to single back. And he says, look, I'm a captain of a mighty vessel here. You alter your course 10 degrees to the north. And the single comes back. Well, I'm just a third-class seaman up here, but you alter your course 10 degrees to the south. The captain's pretty upset now, and he messages back and he says, look, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a battleship. And I see you smiling. Most of you know what's coming next. But the single came back, and the single was, alter your course 10 degrees south because I am a lighthouse. Beloved, that's what it is in the Christian life. We have a target and a goal, and the light is on in the horizon, and we are pointing in that direction, and we take the singles from the lighthouse, from the Savior, from the Lord, and we alter our course the way that He tells us when He tells us. And Satan comes along with all his wind and fury to blow the boat, to change the waters, to move the tides, to deceive us, probably even puts false lights in the distance to get us off course. And God says, 10 degrees this way. No, 10 degrees that way. And we constantly strive to follow and yield and submit to the lighthouse on the horizon and follow what He tells us to be true and to resist the devil while we do that. Is that the picture of your life? It was my prayer that for some or many of us this morning that God would convict us of those areas in our life where we are not being submissive, where we're not submitting to God. Maybe for some, the submitting to God is a secondary issue because you haven't got the resisting the devil part down yet, and you're so caught up in the goals and desires for your life that Satan would have you follow that you can't even think about submitting to God. I beg of you this morning, if you're playing around with God, if you're sailing your ship wherever you want to go, and you keep telling God to change His mind, submit to God this morning. Stop right now and say, God, you know what? If I keep sailing this ship, this vessel, if I keep sailing the direction I'm going, I'm going to make shipwreck of my life. I'm going to end up crashed on the rocks. God, I want to follow you.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we are a people who by our nature resist submitting, and we know it, and we ask. I ask for forgiveness in my life for the difficulty it is for me to be submitting to God on a moment-by-moment basis. Father, come into my life, come into the life of this church, our body, our families, and teach us what it looks like to submit to God in everything that we do. Father, make us good at that. Father, don't resist us because we are proud. Break us of our pride and teach us to submit. And Father, if the cold wind must blow in my life or the life of another person today, if the cold wind must blow so that the sun can come out and your kindness can teach us and reach us and draw us to you, then Father, we welcome that. Father, help us to be submissive to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation this morning. And it's just a time where I invite you to respond to God in any way that He prompts you. Maybe for some this morning, you've been walking away from God for a long time. You know that maybe you've never come to God in the first place. And maybe today's the day where you say, you know, I've got to stop running away from God. I've been fighting it for a long time today. I want to trust Christ. I want to follow Him. I want to give my life to God. That's what yielding is. That's what submitting is. Maybe another would say, you know, I was really convicted by, I'm not really resisting the devil, and I see this in my life, and it's really been a foothold. The door's wide open, and Satan just is going out as much as he wants right here. I want God's help today. I want to be humble enough to come and kneel down, maybe at the altar with me, or maybe in your seat, and say, God, help me to resist right here. I've been falling here all the time. I don't want anymore. God, help me to resist the devil. Whatever God prompts you this morning, you make that decision as we sing.